G'day everyone, and welcome to our latest Clubs in Days preview episode. Today we are talking the Carlton Blues, and I am joined by massive Blues fan and general superstar of the podcast, Liam. Today, how are you going?
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that I am an open Carlton fan, but sure, let's lean in here. Fascinated to talk about the biggest breakout from last year was the Carlton Blues.
For sure.
I wrote the article for our Substack last year, and I did not say the nicest things about the state of their list. I thought they were a bit young, they were a bit reliant in some areas on some injury-prone older players, and boy, did they shove those words back in my mouth. What a fascinating season. Finished fifth on the ladder, 8 wins, 4 losses, 116%. They also had some of the biggest breakouts of the year. None bigger, though, than Dana Finn, who came from the very literal clouds out of nowhere to become an All-Australian winger and then additionally the club's best and fairest.
Huge.
And it would be hard to talk about Carlton, though, without talking about just the explosion of young talent. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
They already boasted one of the most fascinating midfields, all between the ages of about 20 and 24, all in leadership positions to some degree. You know, Mackay, Shira, Mimi Hill. The list goes on. But it truly was. It was Sophie Mackay, and it was the mini Schultz, the baby Schultz, Poppy Schultz, who broke out in the back half of the season, and that coincided with a truly stunning run to finals. Poppy Schultz and Sophie Mackay both dominating in front of goals. Sophie Mackay kicking 18 for the entire season, including a stack in the final series. Truly one of the best ends to a first season that we have seen in the AFLW. They were also just a fascinating side. When you look at some of their core stats, they were, as I said, they were a bad inside 50 team for most of their seasons to date, particularly under Matthew Buck. And they went from that to one of the most efficient sides inside 50. They were taking marks at an above average rate. They were finding marks inside 50. Poppy Schultz showed herself to just have an incredible set of hands in contested marks. And they were also aided by not only Dana Finn's breakout, but Ronnie Fitzpatrick, who makes an All-Australian squad, again, from the clouds. Truly was the year of the Irish breakout in 2025 across the competition. The run and dash that she can create from a wing, from a half-forward spot, was nearly unmatched across the competition. I went from being someone who had a certain degree of circumspect, I was not exactly the world's biggest fan of the list construction, and I came out at the end of the season and wow, I'm happy to be proven wrong because this is entertaining football.
As I said, massive Blues fan Liam right there. But as you say, Liam, like the way the youth and the excitement around the club, it really did come out of nowhere. As you say, two first-year players kicking that many goals and just driving them forward, it was incredible to watch. And I guess it's been quite interesting, in the off-season because they've had a lot of list turnover considering just how successful they were.
Yeah, this is one where, again, I was a little surprised by the moves that they made. So Lauren Bello has come across as a ruck from Gold Coast, which at the time was certainly surprising because we always thought that Carlton's number one point of difference was that they had two number one starting rucks in Bree Harrington and Jess Good. And so to bring another one across was certainly a surprise, but that was before we found out that Bree Harrington was going to be inactive for this season with pregnancy. So
yes,
that decision makes a lot more sense now. But then it was the trading in of two, inside midfielders on top of the, midfield core that I'd already talked about. I forgot to mention as well, Lily Goss, who played a really important season and did a role defensively and a kick inside 50. They've added Claudia Whitford and Brooke Boileau, who... Claudia Whitford is a bit of a journeywoman at this point, even though she's also not old. She's just played at a lot of football clubs. I think this is her fourth now, or when she suits up, hopefully in round one. And had a bit of a down season, mostly to do with injury. Made her way back to Melbourne, having originally been from here. And then Brooke Boileau, who was a former extremely high draft pick, very highly touted out of the Sandville W. Extremely high fantasy scorer, just for those playing along. Yeah, they certainly added in areas of the ground that I didn't expect, because personally I thought that the biggest weakness was in the key defensive posts. You know, Harriet Cordner was someone that we picked for our sides a couple of years ago, and I was like, yeah, that's a nail pick. But for her to become probably the best intercepting defender, not always the best ball user, but the best intercepting defender by a margin.
All-Australian.
Was huge. Well, it's not her first time being an All-Australian. Maddie Hendry was extremely consistent. And, you know, but I do think that there's some depth issues there. They've not really added to those key defensive slots, but they have absolutely put a hat on a hat to some degree by just bolstering that midfield.
And there were two very surprising delistings. Actually, the one is one of the best names in the game, Maria Cannon.
Oh, KP.
But KP, that was a bit out of left field, I think.
Yeah, that was certainly a surprise, given former captain, another former All-Australian, and a key part of their defensive group, albeit someone who'd clearly been hampered by injuries and was going to miss last year with pregnancy. So it was certainly a surprise to see her leave. I think Madison Torpy getting a trade to North Melbourne feels like, you know, another corollary of the Lauren Bella trade. And I think that, you know, Keely Skepper was clearly struggling to get game time. A move to West Coast certainly made sense for both parties. And then there was, you know, I'd say that Tani Brown was someone who'd been around the traps for quite a while at this stage across Collingwood and Carlton. And she was she retired. But I don't believe she was going to get offered another contract.
As we said, very interesting the way that list has been put together. We talked a lot about the Irish explosion at Carlton last season, and we're very, very lucky to be joined by another one of the exciting Irish women from Carlton. Mel had a sit down with Ash Reedy over this off season. Let's jump into that now.
Thanks for joining me for a chat today, Ashling.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. At the time of recording, we're a few weeks into preseason. How's it all going so far?
Yeah, heading into week 6 of preseason this week. So I think the time is absolutely flying. It feels like we only just started last week, but yet we're here 6 weeks later. So yeah, it's going good. Like, the group is so excited to be back, building on the connection that we had last year. So yeah, it's been going great.
Yeah, awesome. So before joining AFLW, you played Gaelic for Clare County, I believe. How have you found the transition moving from, you know, playing Gaelic in Ireland to playing AFLW at Carlton?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it's kind of perceived like there's a lot of similarities between the two, which certainly there are. Certain skills and aspects of the game are completely transferable, but certain aspects are just completely different and not transferable at all. So I think I've had to slowly learn that you need to pick up skills a little bit quicker, trying to go from Gaelic. But yeah, it's been great. Like, the transition, I suppose, coming in last year, I only arrived this time last year, so it was kind of thrown straight in at the deep end and see how you go. So I suppose this year I kind of feel like I've had more of a build up into preseason and had more time to work on things I really wanted to work on, which kind of makes me feel a little bit more prepared heading into this preseason this year compared to landing in the middle of preseason last year. Yeah. So
this will be your first full preseason.
Yeah, it's been my first full preseason, and to be honest, I think back on what was I thinking coming so late last year. It's been great, and I think just even getting time in pre-preseason to work on certain aspects of my game that I wanted to improve on. So getting a little bit more one-on-one time with coaches and specialised skill sessions, I think, has kind of helped me leading into this preseason. So hopefully can put myself in the contention for selection.
Yeah, nice. And yeah, speaking of pre-season, did you head back to Ireland at all, or were you kind of here the whole time?
Yeah, so my off-season was pretty exciting. I spent a lot of time in Sydney, did Christmas in Sydney, so my first Aussie Christmas, which was great. Got a bit of sunshine, which is lovely. And it was great just to get some time off, just to relax and kind of enjoy life outside of footy, because I think obviously coming right in the middle of preseason last year, that was obviously the main focus, and it was kind of how can I get better and how can I improve, and spent a lot of time in the club. So it was nice just to kind of decompress and kind of enjoy life outside of footy and enjoy the Aussie way of living a little bit. And I think that has also helped me be a lot more settled this year. Just kind of getting some off time, some downtime, kind of, building a life outside of footy has kind of helped me heading into this pre-season as well. So yeah, spent a bit of time in Sydney, back in Melbourne then for a bit. And I did get home in March. So I was at home for a month, which was
Oh, nice.
fantastic. Like I think when you get go back home, it kind of it really rejuvenates you a little bit. I think it helped to break up the season a little bit, to kind of define it into two different seasons. So yeah, it was great to get home, re-energize, meet up with friends and family, and yeah, it was brilliant.
That's such a whirlwind of a 12 months. Like you've done so much in the last 12 months
Yeah,
then.
I think it's so funny. Like, if only I could tell myself this time last year how the year would look, I think I probably wouldn't believe it. It has been a whirlwind. Like when I think about this time last year, I literally had just landed in Australia. So I think I've grown a lot as a person and as a player, which is good. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but I wouldn't change it.
Yep. And I guess to help you settle in with the transition, you moved over with your childhood best friend, Shifra, which is pretty
Yeah.
exciting. Tell me about
Yeah.
that. Like, how amazing was
Yeah,
that?
I think it's so funny. What are the chances? Two girls from a small place in Ireland that end up at this AFLW club together. So definitely having Shifra has been amazing. Like I think we relied on each other so much last year and kind of navigated through things together a little bit, because sometimes neither of us would know the answer, but we kind of went about it just the two of us in it together. So it was great. And I think it did make the transition a lot easier. I think obviously like the club were amazing to us, and obviously Dana and Ronnie are here as well, so like they couldn't have been more helpful, and the whole support we got from the club was brilliant. But I think having Shifra with me just kind of made the move a little bit easier.
Yeah. Have you guys been chatting about like what some of the hardest things to pick up? Like what you found, you mentioned the skills are not exactly the same as Gaelic. Like what are some of the things you found the hardest or the easiest to pick up?
Yeah, I think definitely like time on the ball is one thing that I really had to quickly shift. Like at home, it's obviously technically a non-contact sport, so you have a lot of time on the ball to look up and hit a pass or, make decisions. You have a little bit more time, whether here the game moves so quickly, and if you don't get rid of it, you're holding the ball. And I think I probably got caught holding the ball a few times before I snapped really quickly to realize you need to get rid of this. So yeah, I think that like, you need to be able to make decisions a lot quicker. And you need to be quite decisive in your decisions. So if you see the kick, you just got to hit it without hesitation. Otherwise, once you start hesitating, that's when your game will fall down. And I think with Carlton, we play such an exciting, fast-paced game that you really need to be quick with your decisions and quick with your skills. So that's definitely one area I had to shift my mindset a little bit. And obviously, like the fundamental of kicking the ball is quite different. Obviously, the oval shaped ball, it can be a bit funny if you don't kick it correctly. So yeah, I definitely went to work on my kicking in the off season, because that was one area of my game that I really wanted to improve on, just my consistency in my kicking. I suppose with a round ball, it's a lot easier just to kick it and see where it goes. But when you have the sharing, it could go anywhere. So yeah.
Yeah. What a tough season as well to get thrown into the pace of how long you can hold the ball for with all these like holding the ball changes and inconsistent timings like that. That's a tough way to learn. But you
Yeah.
did have such a great debut last season. Like your game against Gold Coast in round five was a fantastic win for Carlton, but also a great game for you. Nine kicks, five tackles, like huge. How did that feel?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever tackled as much since. I think it was just like, I was just so delighted and happy and privileged to get selected to play. So I think, the coaches obviously were so just go out and see what happens, see what you can do, the game plan, see how you go, no real expectation, which I think helped so much, because I just got to go out and run around and have a good time. And I absolutely loved it. I think, you train for so long, and obviously coming from Ireland, you kind of don't understand really the process behind a game day and everything, but getting to experience that firsthand was amazing. And I think the more you play, the more you want to play. So yeah, definitely kind of fires up a little bit of hunger there to get more games this season, hopefully. But yeah, it was a great, obviously, like you're only as good as your teammates around you. So I think against Gold Coast, we really put a good performance together as a team. And I was just happy to play my role within that.
Yeah, you mentioned about wanting like a focus of getting more games this season. Are you like I know that you played midfield previously with Gaelic and then you were kind of in the forward line and got a great goal in one of your last games last season. Are you focusing more on forward, midfield, or a bit of both in terms of your training and
Yeah, I'm just focusing on executing the fundamentals of the game, and wherever the coaches feel I will execute those fundamentals and where they feel like I will fit into the game plan best, that's what I'm happy to do. We play a very specific type of footy here at Carrollton, and I think our brand really holds up against some of the stronger teams. So I'm just happy to play my role and slot in wherever they see me fit best.
Yeah, nice. It sounds good. And yeah, I mean, Carlton has an exciting brand of footy, and it did work out well for you guys last season. The high volume kick mark game plan was, yeah, pretty fantastic last year, leading you to a prelim final. What has been Coach Matthew Buck's advice to the girls before you start up this season, like coming off that fantastic growth last season?
Yeah, I think the main aim is that we're not chasing last season. We want to build on our exciting brand of footy. We want to take, like, you know, take our, like, we know it stands up against some of the best teams. So we just want to improve on that and build on that and keep working on our game plan and executing that to a really, really high level. So yeah, I think the key message is we're not chasing last year. We want to build on that and grow the game and grow our brand of footy as much as we can.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk through some of the players that we saw have fantastic years last season, seasons last year, rather, sorry. So, yeah, 2025 was exciting for Carlton, but also for some of the young forward debuts that we saw. We had Poppy Schultz and Sophie McKay make fantastic entrances into the game, 18 goals and 13 goals apiece. That was so exciting to watch. I can only imagine how fun it was to play around those guys.
Yeah, Pop and Soph definitely brought a huge energy last year. I think their energy was infectious amongst the whole team,
Yeah.
Which was brilliant. And obviously, like, they're both superstars, so their performances on the oval and on the ground was second to none. And they're just great teammates. They're great people to have around the club, and obviously they're extremely, extremely talented. So delighted to have them. And hopefully they can build on their performances again heading into 2026.
Yeah. And you mentioned having some other Irish women around is very helpful for your settling in. And obviously, Ronnie came back after her ACL injury last year and had a great season as well. I think 13 goals to her name. Has she kind of taken you under her wing a little bit, you and Schieffer? Or, like, what's the dynamic going on with her?
Yeah, I think both Dana and Ronnie both finished in our top three best and fairest. So no pressure for Schieffer and I coming through the ranks. But yeah, they've just been fantastic. I think, you know, the advice and the support they've given us has been second to none, and kind of just, as you said, took us under their wing a little bit. Like, you know, it's so much, your feelings definitely feel a lot more validated when you know that somebody has gone through them. And I think, you know, they're so inspiring, and like for Schieffer and I to look up to as well, to see that that's where you can get to if you put in the hard work. Because I know that both Dana and Ronnie work extremely, extremely hard. It's no coincidence they are where they are. Like, they're so dedicated and hardworking, and so professional about the whole thing. So I think having them to kind of look up to and aspire to be like has been great, and like the support and the advice they've given us has been great. And they know what we were going through last year, trying to settle in and trying to learn a new game. And I think, you know, like, their advice kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. You know, just knowing that they've gone through it too, they know exactly how you're feeling, and seeing how good they can get is something that I obviously Schieffer and I would aspire to be like.
Yeah, and it's so cool that, like, of the Irish gang that you've got there at Carlton, they're some of, like, the most fantastic players that just had these phenomenal seasons timed perfectly with your first season. Like, it would just be such an Irish explosion, I reckon. That would be so fun to be around.
Yeah, it's great, and I think it's funny. It's especially nice, especially in the men's program, there's two Irish players as well. So it's nice to hear the accent around the corridors. Makes you feel a little bit more like you're at home. And even just kind of, you know, certain aspects of life that you can bump off them, because, you know, they know what they're going, what we're going through as well, and little jokes and little and snippets from home that you get to experience together is quite nice.
Yes, maybe moving over to the defense. This is another area where, I mean, there's no Irish players, I don't think, coming through. But, you know, Carlton's got some other good players as well, especially Harriet Cordner leading the league for intercepts, which is absolutely phenomenal. And Maddie Hendry also had a really good season last year. Bit of a breakout there. Do you play up against these guys much in match sim, or have you gone head to toe with them?
Yeah, I kind of usually play a bit of a higher half forward, so don't get to match up with them that often. But of course, you know, I feel like at Carlton, you want to make your teammates better. So I think having the likes of Maddie Hendry and Harry and even Schieffer and all the backs, You're only making your teammates better when you're going up against them because they're so such of high quality and their standards. They like especially Harriet really drives standards. They just want to get better and better each season, and I think you can really see that. And I know the backs, they work so well together. They really have a great understanding and connection between each other. So that definitely helps helps us higher up the field. But yeah, they've just had fantastic seasons last year and hopefully can build on that for next season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And for yourself, looking forward to the season, obviously there's a lot to be excited about, but what are you most excited about?
Yeah, I think just excited to see, where I can kind of take my game. I'm still so new to the sport and every day is a learning day for me. There's definitely so many aspects that I need to continue to work on, and will continue to work on through the preseason. But I'm just kind of excited to see where this group can go. We've some really exciting new players coming in that have brought a fantastic energy again this season. And I think our focus is really to build on last season. So yeah, I'm really just excited to see where it goes. Obviously, we're playing some of the best teams this season, so let's just see
Yeah.
how we can hold up against them. I think our brand will hold up. I think we play really exciting footy. And just to keep going, keep enjoying it, keep having fun, I think is the main message. I think most people can see that Carlton is quite a fun club to be at. And from coming into that last year, I can completely vouch for that. It was so welcoming and so fun and so wholesome. And I think we've really built a connection with each other. So yeah, just building on that from last year, and I'm really excited to see where this group can go because I think there's great potential there for this season.
Yes, and potential is a great way to segue into my final question. We ask all of our interviewees if you could name one player that's going to have a breakout performance this season, who's it going to be and why? What do you reckon?
Oh goodness, there's so many players that are playing in different roles and different positions, and it's going to be really tricky to pick one. I think especially even after last year, you saw the amount of players that had a breakout season.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick one. But I suppose I'm probably excited to see. Oh God, there's so many. I reckon I'm gonna go with Chifra. I reckon she's gonna have a very good season this year.
Awesome, not biased at all.
Not biased at all, just flying the Irish flag over here.
How's she looking at pre-season? She put it in hard
Yeah,
work.
very good. Yeah, I think both of us have really gone to work on our skills. And gone to work on our running and all aspects of our game. So let's just see how that goes this year.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you out there for a game or two, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cheers.
All right, really interesting stuff there. It's great to hear the insight into this fascinating football club. Liam, what were your takeaways?
I just love the fact that, it was the best Irish friend at the football club who was picked as the breakout in Chiefer O'Connell. I really get around that. And it's always, a little bit more difficult to sometimes interview these, quite young Irish players who have not spent nearly as much time in and around the AFLW landscape, but always fascinating to hear how they end up in the AFLW. And yeah, I love that little bit of Irish camaraderie really tying together this episode already. It's like we know what we're doing.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've got to look out for your besties. And that is why, Liam, you have looked out for our besties, which is our listeners, with a top five filled with great names. Who's your number one?
Well, I thought you were about to say that I'm somehow besties with the number one, which was certainly a surprise because it's Claudia Whitford, who I've never met in my life. I think the main reason is
Not
it was
yet,
just,
anyway. Not yet.
not yet, not yet. I'm sure a lovely person, even though I had just called her a journeywoman. Going to be super cheap. Going to be super cheap this year, priced at only 59. She has had seasons, the previous two seasons, 2024, 2023. 2024, she had an 80, and then the season prior, she averaged 96 off the top of my head. So has a substantial amount of scoring pedigree, has a great inside-outside midfield game. The big question I have, though, is on the midfield split. Because we've talked about Mackay, we've talked about Mimi Hill, we've talked about Keely Sharar, we know that Aaron Fitzpatrick was a bit of a point of difference. Sophie Mackay is also a point of difference. Mads Gieran is a point of difference, an elite scorer in the back end of the year in that finals run. The question is going to be who plays what, when, where, and high, why. I'm not exactly, seeing the vision exactly right now. you know, if on face value, given what we've seen before, Mads Gieren spending some time forward, Mimi Hill spending some time off half back would seem like the most likely first port of call to give Claudia Whitford some time in the midfield. But I think if she does get that midfield time, 50, 60%, that sub 60 average feels way too low.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Claudia Whitford is one of my favourites. I was a big fan of Claudia Whitford, particularly at the Suns. And the reason why is because of her clearance work. I think despite the strength of that midfield group, they don't have a like out-and-out clearance midfielder. And Claudia Whitford is that player. I think that's probably why they've brought her in. So I can see her slotting straight into there to be that centre bounce clearance specialist. Pretty sure in that year where she averaged 96, she was either the best or the second best centre bounce clearance player behind her teammate Charlie Rowbottom. So I think that's the point of difference, I guess, for her. And if that is the role that she's getting, I mean, that's a steal.
Yeah. And to be clear as well, I don't think it's a 96 average that we're getting. That would be a shock, just given the differences in makeups between that 2023 Gold Coast team to this Carlton team. But I do think 70, 80, absolutely on the cards. And I think we're getting into the realms of very reasonable value for our starting teams. She's got the pedigree. I just feel like as long as her body is set, that was one thing that really killed her last year, was just persistent soft tissues and kind of struggling a little bit under a new coach. And there was just such high rotation of players through that centre bounce. I think I'm backing Claudia Whitford to you know, get back to her best this year.
I'm now going to give a quick disclaimer, because this is coming from the future after we've recorded the episode, as since we recorded the episode, the number two player has unfortunately done her ACL and will be inactive for the rest of the season. We wish her a speedy recovery and hope to enjoy her as a fantastic fantasy option next season. But for now, please enjoy us talking in considerable detail about a player who you probably shouldn't select in the upcoming season. Number two is possibly one of the most interesting players in that Carlton midfield, because they're the only one that isn't a blonde-haired one. Who's your number two?
Well, you make a great point. Well, I'd say Claudia Whitford is also not a natural blonde. You know, I think it may have just been the Gold Coast sun causing it. But Mads Gieren, who has had some elite stretches of scoring, but I think what makes her relevant this year is the fact that she is so much cheaper than she could have been, because she spent so much time playing forward or not on the ground earlier in the year. So priced at only 58. This is another player in a very similar price bracket to Claudia Whitford. But importantly for Gieren, in that finals push, averaged 100, which truly was a pretty spectacular effort, given we've talked about the bodies that were there. Had some, you know, 40, 50 point quarters, I feel like, in the repeat games against West Coast that they had in the back end of the season. I think it's worthwhile seeing where she's going to play, because I think that, you know, the Whitford discussion bleeds into the Gieren discussion. It'll bleed into discussion of half these players, which is there's been a lot of new names, or there was a lot of instability across the season in the midfield, and there were some patches of sustained high scoring, particularly for Gieren. If she can replicate that, particularly earlier in the year, I think that we know she's capable now of averaging 85 plus, 90 plus, has a great tackle game, you know, isn't always necessarily the most accurate kick, but really gets meters gained and is a natural fantasy scorer in that way.
Yeah, I think you've really hit the nail on the head, which is it was a tale of two seasons, basically. One half of the season, sitting on half forward.
Or on the bench.
Just couldn't seem to score. And, like, ended up getting injured, I think, in round 7. Comes back in round 10. And for the next 6 weeks goes 92, 112, 88, 108, 116, with a low score in that 6 weeks of 79 in a prelim against Brisbane, who are pretty bloody good. That's elite midfield quality, as you say. Like, that's 100 plus average. If that's what we're getting,
this much like Claudia Whitford, 59 is ridiculous, right? It's exactly. A slam dunk. But I think the reason why she's not number one is because I think we both know it was. You've reminded me. It was an injury. Mads Gieren was dropped.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, that was the wild thing. Yes. Mads Gieren was dropped. So clearly not all, like, you know, not all was well in the state of Denmark at the time in the middle of last season.
I just looked at the time on ground and went, that's not right.
Yeah,
surely.
So,
but oh,
look,
oh, I'd forgotten about that.
And you know, if I have a feeling that maybe if she hadn't put together those great performances at the end of the year, we might have been talking about Mads Gieran at a different football team. But it was truly a spectacular run to finish the year, particularly that final series was one of their massive points of difference along with that forward line. So big eye on Mads Gieran. I'm not confident right now to say that she'll absolutely be playing. I got to imagine she was very close to mid-forward status, at which point she would have been a fascinating pick, much, much closer to my side. But I think that there are some other options, but it's hard to deny that scoring pedigree.
Yeah, and we'll move on from Mads Gieran, but just lastly, that 112 she scored was from 50% game time. That's
freak.
Wild. Number three was possibly one of the biggest stories out of Carlton last season. One of the most exciting players in the competition as well. Your number three, Liam.
Sophie Mackay. You kick 18 goals as a 19-year-old. You've clearly got some elite raw talent. I know that she was drafted as a mid-forward into Carlton. I suspect that over time she will be given a role higher up the ground. I just think that there's an elite footballer fantasy-wise there. That's all I'm basing it on, right? Like, not an amazing average, you know, mainly scored well when she was taking marks inside 50, but I just get the sense that, you know, we've talked about it previously that a lot of the big fantasy breakouts happen in year two. I won't be shocked if we get to the practice match and we see Sophie Mackay as someone who's playing a lot higher up the ground, maybe a few CBAs here and there, and it's as a result of shifting other players onto the wing, putting Mimi Heal off half back. I just think that it might, and it may ultimately be wrong, may not be this year that Sophie Mackay is a midfielder. She may be a forward for the rest of her life. But I think with that amount of sheer talent, her speed, her decision-making, I think it would be a surprise if she doesn't get a shot at there at some point.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about Sophie Mackay, as you'd expect from a first-year player, there were some real low scores into that average last season. There was a 28... a 35, 36, but the positives were so positive. And if those like bottom scores can sort of be replaced with a bit more consistency, I think you've got like an easy 60 to 70 average there from a player who I think we're going to be talking about as a fantasy option for a long, long time, whether it is this year or next year, as you said. Now for your number four, one of your faves, Liam, and also in that half-forward mould.
Ronnie Fitzpatrick. For those that don't know, Willow, Jono, a bunch of other people play a keeper league for AFLW. One of the players that I went early on in the redraft last year was Ronnie Fitzpatrick, and boy, oh boy, was I blown away. Even just playing as a midfielder, I think that she is a superstar talent. I think if anything is missing, and that's maybe why we're talking about Sophie Mackay, that's missing from this Carlton team is a bit of like raw speed from the wings and coming out of the midfield. Mimi Hill is clean. Abby Mackay is bullocking. Keely Sharar is a bit of a scalpel, but I think it's the speed that Ronnie Fitzpatrick has. Speed running back towards goal. She's very capable as well, getting up on a half back to take some marks too. I think with forward status this year, if she does get it, which I'm expecting that she will, I think that this is potentially one of the top forwards of this year. We've seen now, you know, Michaela Bowen might finally get forward status, and that's the type of mould that I think Ronnie Fitzpatrick would have, and that's a 90 averaging player. Ron Fitzpatrick, for those, if I haven't mentioned it yet, is going to be priced at only 71. I think that the 80 plus is what you're capable of. Average 75 in the final five games of last year. It's not as much value as I'd like. It's not a slam dunk pick. But I just get the feeling like there's a top five or close to top five averaging forward.
Yeah, and I think that's the sort of thing you say. Even if that value isn't necessarily there, I think she's still going to be in that top five conversation, which really puts her as an option to start with regardless. Now, your number five, I'm a big fan of this one because this one is pretty rogue. Let's go for it. Liam, your number five.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I wanted to try and talk about a rookie Because it would be remiss of me to not least talk about some of the cheaper players. So I've talked about Taylor McMillan. She was taken in the draft at pick 34. What's really important is that she was a bit of a high tackle player as in the Coates League, averaged 9.6 tackles along with 23 disposals and 2 marks. It's just a name that we've got to watch out for. If someone is averaging nearly 10 tackles as an underager, I don't even care if we haven't heard about her yet. It's a name to keep on the radar, because if he does play, we clearly know there's a bit of, you know, there's some tendencies there. There's some elite fantasy tendencies if you're averaging nearly 10 tackles.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Breaking into this Carlton side is not an easy thing, but if she does get in there, we know she's got the pedigree. And we also saw last year that Carlton rookies apparently are the ones you need to look out for.
Unless, of course, they are, and I'm sorry to say this, Aisling Reedy, who after bringing her in and scoring 50, scored a single digits. But yes, I do think that there's certainly something to be said for Carlton rookies.
Very much so. For the host special, I have decided to keep the trend of blonde midfielders going, and I have decided to select Brooke Boileau. As Liam mentioned earlier, a former high draft pick coming over from Adelaide, so coming from a very good system into another very good system here, only averaged 49.9 last season, but I think the important thing is has only really averaged about 50% time on ground in her time at Adelaide, because Adelaide has been so blessed with those midfield half-forward types. She's kind of competing with names like Anne Hatchard and Chelsea Randall and Danielle Ponta.
And Tia Charlton.
And they are absolutely flush with these options at Carlton as well, because apparently they have gone on a recruiting spree to get every single blonde half-forward midfield option they possibly can. I love what Brooke Boileau brings to a team. And the other thing about Brooke Boileau is we know that she has an elite pedigree. Was averaging 101 in the Sandful W, a 90 in the under-18s. She could very easily just play into Carlton's game style, which is free-flowing. There's an easy jump to 60 points there in my mind, possibly more if she does get a bit more of that midfield time. It's all about the opportunity. She's one that is a classic. Let's see what happens in the preseason.
Yeah, I think she's currently not at the front of the queue, but I'm damn sure she's in the queue for that midfield time. And it may take a couple of injuries. It may take a slow start to the season. I will not be shocked if Brooke Boileau is a target as we're trying to find some value options to complete our side. I think, that 101 average, 90 in the under-18s, built off tackles, is bullocking inside and is very tall for an inside midfielder, which is probably another thing that is a bit lacking at Carlton, is a bit of height. It would be great if Brooke Boileau was a key defender, but that's a podcast for another day. I'm fascinated by it as an option. I think it's a great call.
Who knows? Maybe we will see Brooke Boileau, the superstar key defender. But for now, that is our Carlton episode. Keep your eyes on our Substack for all of the articles to go alongside these clubs in days. Keep an eye on our socials as well. We have a very exciting episode next up, which is Jono's Hawks. I'm sure that one will be an absolute ripper. But until next time, I've been Willow. You've been joined by Liam. Thank you so much. Catch you later.
Au revoir.